KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds. Last year, more than 32 million passengers passed through SeaTac International Airport. And this holiday season, we'll see a bump in travel of people as people fly to see friends and family. And they will all pass through security checkpoints operated by the Federal Transportation Security Administration, the TSA. Joining us to answer questions about how well security is working is Errol Southers. He's the Associate Director at the Center for Risk and Economic Analysis of Terrorism Events at the University of Southern California. He's also the former Chief of Homeland Security and Intelligence for the Los Angeles World Airports Police Department. He was also in the FBI, where he investigated foreign counterintelligence and terrorism. Thanks a lot for joining us, Errol Southers. We appreciate it.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Let's start with the big picture. You know, we've talked to some critics on this show who say that the security we go through at the airport is, they call it security theater. It's a show to make us feel as though we're safer, but it doesn't really get the job done. What do you think about that?
Well, I certainly think that we could do a better job. It appears that, first of all, with all due respect, we've not had an incident since 9/11 in this country, and we should be happy about that. But we could do certainly a better job of educating the traveling public, making them more aware, and making them more, if you will, part of the system as opposed to consumers of the system.
What do you mean part of the system?
Well, it just appears that we don't educate people about what they should be doing, what things they can carry. We make them feel like they're going through a drill, as opposed to making them feel comfortable about something that they would do and making it very normal. So, you know, for example, if a person's pulled out of line for a body pat-down, people should know their options and their rights as a person that's going to go through that procedure in terms of the person doing it's going to be the same gender, and they can have it done in private, and they can have a traveling companion go with them when it's being done in private. So those are the kinds of things that slow the system down and give people a feeling where they have a lack of confidence in terms of the security that's being provided.
Now, I understand another thing that a lot of people might not know is that if you're subject to a pat-down, you can say, no, I don't want this person to do it. I want someone else to do it. Is that right?
I am not certain if that is true or not. I would imagine that it probably is. There certainly seems to be enough people present that they could opt to have another person do it, but I don't know that that's a policy.
We're talking about airport security and your questions about it. Errol Southers is with us. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869, or drop us a line. It's conversation at KUOW.org. You know, I happened to go through London's Heathrow Airport last month, and I noticed I didn't have to take off my shoes. How common is that at airports around the world now that you don't have to take off your shoes?
Well, it seems to be very common. In fact, I believe, and I'm like you, I travel quite a bit internationally. The only country that's still removing their shoes seems to be the United States. And it would appear that countries where at least the threat and risk level is noticeably higher, particularly in the Middle East, people are still allowed to keep their shoes on. So even though there was a very real shoe threat, and there is still a shoe threat, obviously there are non-metallic materials that could be part of an improvised explosive device placed in shoes. However, it would appear that other countries that have the same concerns we do are not making people do that, and it's a policy that I really think we should reconsider.
Well, I guess it's also already being reconsidered. If you're over 75 or under 12, you can keep your shoes on. It's sort of, I think it undermines morale to go to one airport, Heathrow, which you presume would have pretty high security and not have to take your shoes off, and then go through SeaTac and have to take your shoes off. It's sort of, you start thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute, is it the same safety issues in both places? Why wouldn't the procedure be the same in both places?
That's a very good question. And, you know, those who argue for it to be done that way suggest that adversaries want to be surprised. Well, I have to give you a bit of information. They're smarter than we give them credit for. Randomness is not brought about by the fact that shoes are removed in one place and not another. Again, what this does is undermines public confidence and slows down the system. So I totally agree with you that it should be. There are certain things that have to have an element of consistency that would not compromise the security that's being provided if we did it that way.
And yet, Errol, I've talked to TSA people, and they've said that randomness is one of their tools, is that you can't always know exactly what's going to happen when you come to the airport, and they think in that way they can cover a lot more bases than they could if they were consistent. Do you think that's a good strategy?
Well, I think randomness is a good strategy. I think what's more important that we know who is traveling as opposed to what they might have with them. I always say we should get better at looking for the bomber instead of the bomb. So I think personal traveler information for those people who are willing to divest of that information in the options that are available is actually better than picking the fifth person in line.
Got questions about airport security? Errol Southers is Associate Director of the Center for Risk and Economic Analysis of Terrorism, and that's at the University of Southern California. Also, he's been in the FBI. He's also worked for the Homeland Security and Intelligence Agency at the Los Angeles World Airports Police Department. So this has been his beat. Maybe you've got a question about it. He's not with the TSA, but he's observed what they do, and he's really well informed on this. Maybe you've got a question about airport security. 206-543-5869. 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Let's go over to West Seattle, where we've got Robert on the line. Robert, thanks for giving us a call today. What's your question?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have a quick question about why it seems so different from airport to airport. It seems like I go to Seattle, and they kind of they'll let me right through and not check me certain ways. And then I was flying home from New York, and they pulled me aside and checked my toiletries bag and made me throw stuff away. It was the same. I packed it the same exact way going there and coming home. I'm just kind of curious why it seems so different.
Yeah, we just talked about that a little bit. But is it just an accident, Errol, that airports might have different procedures? Or do they actually think about it and go, you know, we're going to switch it up today in Seattle and do this different thing here in New York? Is there thoughtful randomness?
Well, I don't know if there's thoughtful randomness, and I have to agree with Robert. It appears to me that if I go through one airport with my items packed a certain way, that I should be able to go through another airport. They certainly shouldn't ask you to throw them away because of some security concern or some risk that it presents. You know, picking him out in one airport and not another, if that randomness is being used, would make sense. But to make him toss items that went through screening in one location and not another, to me, doesn't appear to be a random strategy. It seems to be an inconsistency in terms of people being trained to identify what a person can carry on board and what they cannot.
Robert, thanks for your phone call. Sean wrote to us, conversation@kuow.org. Can you tell me how many terrorists have been caught by the TSA and then convicted?
Well, I think the quick and dirty answer to that is zero. I can certainly say that with all due respect to the whole body imaging scanners that are in airports, they have not identified anyone who's been presumed to be a terrorist either. And I believe the GAO reported that the behavioral detection officers were not able to identify anyone that was a terrorist as well. So unless someone has more information that's not publicly available, it would seem that the answer to that question would be zero. Now, there have been certainly terrorist plots thwarted and suspected terrorists detained and arrested and convicted as a result of joint terrorism task forces by law enforcement, by fusion centers that are working with law enforcement around the country. But as far as TSA's actions at the airport, my knowledge of that is that there's been no one identified and certainly no one convicted.
I guess there's a couple of ways to look at that. On the one hand, you could say it hasn't been doing any good. On the other hand, you could say, oh, the terrorists are so aware that they're going to get caught that they're not even trying it anymore. What do you think?
Well, we would love to believe that the deterrence factor is so high that they have decided that they're not going to do it. However, the utility for terrorists to continue to focus on airports is there, and there are really four interesting reasons for that. Number one, the infrastructure disruption it can cause as a result of a plot or an actual attack. The second item, obviously most important to them, are the number of people they could kill or injure if they're successful. The economic consequences of an attack. You know, we had a near plot in 2006 with liquid explosives, and the economic impact to Ryanair and British Airlines was staggering. And then last but not least, and the most important is what we're talking about today, is the psychological impact it has on travelers. The fact that with all this money and all of this training and all of this technology, that terrorists could be successful still would certainly disturb the psyche of most people traveling with regards to whether our country can protect us.
Errol Southers, kind of a basic question. Sometimes they'll run a swab over your baggage and they'll stick it into some kind of a machine and they'll take a look at it and then kind of send you on your way. What's being tested for when they use those white swabs?
Well, they're looking for explosive residue. They're looking for chemical components that might be used to construct or someone who's been handling an improvised explosive device. So if you were someone who had actually handled a peroxide-based explosive or item like that even a day ago, and you touched your bag, carried it to the airport, running that swab over your bag, they would find it.
Now, how about if you've been to a shooting range or you've been out hunting? Would gunpowder residue on your hands set it off?
I don't know that gunpowder, as in gunshot residue, would set it off. I'd be guessing at that answer. I'm not quite sure, but I do know that chemical components that would be used in an improvised explosive device would, in fact, alert the machine.
Let's go to Tava, who's on the line. She's got a question about those body scan machines that have been introduced at airports. Go right ahead, Tava.
Yes, well, first of all, it should be known I'm a retired stewardess, so I've had to go through a lot of this stuff. I even wonder how much radiation I've had to consume and my pills have. But I was in Amsterdam, and I had on a money belt because I carried my big money in a cloth money belt with the little plastic snaps. And they patted me down and said, oh, you can't have that. And so I had to go back through the scanner. And then they went, well, you have money in your back pockets. Well, yeah, I keep money in my pockets. I mean, you know, usable, you know, the cash I'm going to use. And I had to go through again. And I ended up having to take out all my money and put it on those little boxes. And I don't even know if I got it all back. But it seems to me that some of these things are really absurd, because what am I going to do with the money? Shove it down the pilot's throat or something to make him reroute the plane? I mean, what an idiocy.
No, I hear that. But they tell you that, too, don't they, Tava? They say take everything out of your pockets, everything off of your body.
But if it's paper,
yeah.
If it's paper, what difference does it make? I mean,
Errol, does that make sense to you, Errol Southers?
Well, Tava has a very interesting point, and I have to agree that if you forget to take the money out of your pocket and you walk through the whole body imaging machine and it shows that there's an anomaly in your pocket and you take it out and it happens to be money, I don't understand why she would have to be rescreened through that machine again. That's a very good question. It's obviously just money. If it's not something that's setting off the machine in terms of it being some kind of residue that's being used in a device, I would have to agree. And again, it's those kinds of incidents, that what I call non-events, that slow down the throughput and increase the frustration.
Thanks a lot for your call, Tava. Sorry we don't have an answer for that. It just does increase frustration. But there are some ways that people have been able to get through security more quickly. The couple of programs, one called Global Travel and one called PreCheck. Errol, how do they work and how can I get into one?
Well, Global Entry is very simple. You go online and you're going to fill out a questionnaire. By the way, it costs, I believe it's $100 for 5 years, which is one of the cheapest trusted travel programs in the world. And after you fill out the questionnaire, you'll be directed by the Customs and Border Protection, if you pass, to go to your nearest airport, which you can select. You'll go there in person with your identification. They will scan your palm. They will take your photograph. And then anytime you re-enter the United States from international travel, you'll go to a kiosk. And the last time I came into the country in 18 seconds, I was through customs. Had I had carry-on luggage, I would have been out of the airport in probably about a minute and a half.
You don't have to take your coat off?
Well, when you're coming back to customs, you wouldn't have to do that. Now, what you're describing is PreCheck.
Okay, what's that?
PreCheck is for domestic travel.
Okay.
And so if you're in PreCheck, what you'll do is go to a special lane at the airport. You won't have to take your coat off. You won't have to take your shoes off. You do not remove your laptop from your bag. You do take out those metallic items that might set off a metal detector, as if you're walking into, say, a federal building. And you walk through the metal detector. You put your bag on a conveyor belt, you pick it up at the other end, and you're out.
Do you have to pay for PreCheck also for domestic flights?
I'm not sure if there's a fee for PreCheck. I was offered PreCheck because I had already paid for Global Entry.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask people to go online and determine whether or not there is a fee. But believe me, the convenience is certainly worth it. And it really speaks to, again, knowing who the traveler is as opposed to looking for the explosive device.
Now, security critic Bruce Schneier was telling me he thinks that airport security is too focused on passengers when the real concern should be poorly paid airport workers. What do you think? Is there too little attention being paid to the people who work at the airport?
Well, I think that there should be equal amounts of attention obviously paid to passengers and to people working at the airport. But he brings up a very good point. The insider threat is something that's very, very concerning to us. And it is obviously an avenue that adversaries would use. You know, what's interesting, again, is when you have incidents over the past several years of people who have been stealing from airports, meaning TSA employees, when they've been allowing unscreened baggage to go on planes, as they did last year in one of the airports. And oddly enough, TSA even released a list of the top 20 airports where employees stole from bags. I mean, that's not very comforting to the traveling public. And so the gentleman that mentioned that TSA screeners are an issue, any human being can be an issue. Obviously, anytime we have someone that's involved in security, we do run that risk of that person not being everything that they're supposed to be. And he does have a valid concern that they should be checked randomly as well.
Speaking of uncomfortable, Simon writes to us, in October, my six-year-old son was patted down, including his inner thighs, at SeaTac because the buttons on his overalls were setting off the metal detector. The security people all knew it was his overalls, but insisted on frisking him anyway. It was very uncomfortable emotionally, and I had to explain how this inappropriate touch was somehow different from other inappropriate touch. Was this really legal, and what can parents do in that kind of situation?
I'm not an attorney, so I don't know the legality of doing that. But just as a person who exercises a fair amount of discretionary decision making, it would seem that that was a poor decision. A 6-year-old child, what could that child be hiding? Again, I think that there are certain rules that are taken somewhat literal, and I think that officers have to be given the authority to make some discretionary decision-making when it relates to a child or an elderly person or someone who's infirmed. I can't understand why that would have happened.
Finally, Errol, for maybe folks who haven't traveled much lately and they're going through the airport, it's crowded, they're going through TSA, a lot of procedures they might not be entirely comfortable with, what's your advice?
My advice, first of all, is to get there early, to cooperate, to become part of the system, to understand that people really do care about getting you through the security system. You know, I want to believe that the vast majority of people that are at the TSA are trying to do a good job. So, you know, follow the rules and really do pay attention to those things and become part of the security system. It's not a place to challenge the authority. If there's a complaint, take up that complaint later. But just be prepared, be patient, and there shouldn't be many problems.
Errol Southers, Associate Director at the Center for Risk and Economic Analysis of Terrorism Events. That's at the University of Southern California. Formerly, he was with the FBI, and he also has worked in airport security. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.